tell you what the Marsham says. Let me tell you what the Marsham says, and let's explain the Marsham, and that will shed light a little bit. It's not a perfect match to the case at hand. Let's discuss the halakha over here. Today's daf. Today's daf. Daf Mila. Daf Daf Dalit. Amid Aleph. We learn about the laws of pigel. What is pigel? There are four avodos. Let's discuss just basically shchita. When you do shchita, you do the avodah with the kavana that you will do another avodah chutz lizman. You're going to eat the meat after the allotted period of time of this karban. This karban, let's say, can only be for one day and one night. When you do shchita, you have kavana. I'm going to eat the meat in 3 days from now. What is the law? If you continue and you do everything, you do zriga, it's chal upon this meat, a din called pigel. If a person would now eat the piece of meat, he would be chayiv karis. If a person has kavana to eat part of the karban chutz lizman, past its time period, it's chal pigel. Let me give you another example. Let's say a person, when he does shchita, has kavana that he's going to take the meat outside of the proper location, chutz limikoymoy. I'm going, you're not allowed to take meat of Kadoshim outside of the Azara. I plan to take the meat outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Is there, and then in that type of carb, then you do Zrika, you continue, you do all the Avod, and you pour the blood on the Mizbeach. Does it rest upon the piece of meat, a din of pigel? No, absolutely not. Pigel is exclusively reserved for where the Kavana was to do something past its time period. Has nothing to do with past its permitted location. Chutz lizman and not chutz limekama. And there's one more very critical point for our discussion. Let's say a person has double kavana. I'm going to eat a piece of meat past its zman and outside of its proper location. So on the one hand, you have in your kavana chutz lizman. But on the other hand, you have another problem with the karban, that it's chutz limekama. So the law is, it is not pigel. The only time a carbon has the status of pigel is where? The only problem that this carbon has is zman. If there is an additional problem besides zman, then there is no pigel. Okay, that's the basics. Let's review very quickly the rules. So then I'm going to tell you the case, and that will define our halacha. When it comes to pigel, pigel is where a person does an avoda, he does shrita, for example, and when he does a shrita, he has kavan, he's going to eat the meat after its proper time, chutz lizmano. And everything else is okay. It is usur to eat this karban, and if one does so, he's chayiv karis for the law of pigel. If a person has kavan that he's going to do something chutz limukoymoy, there is no din of pigel. Number two, second condition. Even when there's a kavana chutz lizman, which makes the carbon pigel, that's only where there's nothing else wrong with this carbon. If you also have a problem of chutz limekoymoy, then the carbon is not pigel. Along comes Rabbi Yehuda in the Gemara and says a tremendous chiddush. He says the only time a machshav of chutz limekoymoy will ruin it is only if chutz limekoymoy comes before. For chutz lizman. But if you start off, if the first disqualification of the carbon is chutz lizman, and at that moment in time, there's no other problem, then automatically it's pigel, even though later on you will have other problems. That's Rabbi Yehuda.
Can you eat it?
No, you cannot eat it. You never can eat it. The question is, if you eat it, is there karis? There's only karis if it has the status of pigel.
No, if it has the status, in other words, you say, I'm going to eat it 3 days later.
3 days, right.
I just want to understand.
Right.
Pigel.
That's pigel, right.
And therefore, you cannot consume it.
Correct. Now, let's say you have kavana, you're going to eat it 3 days later, and afterwards, 5 minutes later, you have kavana, you're also going to eat this outside of the Beis HaMikdash. So now there are two problems. There's the problem of eating it chutz lizmanoi, and the second problem of chutz limekoymoi. So according to the Rabbanon, it's no longer pigel. in order for it to be pigul, it could only have one problem, the problem of chutz l'zman. If you have a second problem of chutz l'mukomo, that takes away the status of pigul. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda says that you can have a second problem provided the second problem comes after the problem of chutz l'zman. When you have the machshav of chutz l'zman, it has to be exclusive at that moment. At that moment in time, this is the only problem that this piece of meat has. It has a machshav of chutz l'zman. Even though 10 minutes later you added another problem, we don't take that into consideration because at the moment when you had the machshav of chutz l'zman, this was the only problem. Now, there's a little bit more to it. This is the poor part that we need. This is the Taisus. Taisus says, this is only going to be true according to Rabbi Yehuda if you hold the moment, this is the critical moment, the moment that triggers pigul is the first moment when you have the problem. Now, in our example, you're having these thoughts at the time of shechita. I'm slaughtering the animal, and at that moment in time I have a kavana, I'm going to eat the animal chutz l'zmano. 5 minutes later, when I'm about to do the kabbalah, I have kavan, I'm going to eat the meat chutz l'mekoyma. So since it already became pigul at the time of shechita, there's nothing you can do later on to take away the problem of pigul. But the Gemara Tosfos says, let's say you assume that when the moment that pigul is triggered is not at the beginning of the avoda, but at the very, very end. What's the very end? Zurika. In other words, let's take this as a classic case. It's only one problem. Only one problem of chutz l'zman. I slaughtered the animal, and when I slaughtered the animal, I have kavana, I'm going to eat this 3 days from now. Chutz l'zman. At that moment in time, is it pigul? If right now I were to eat the meat, at that moment I would take a bite out of the animal's neck, would I be chayv pigul? No. Why not? Because I didn't do zurika. I need to wait until I go through the Kabbalah, the Halacha. When I do the Zurika, then not necessarily retroactively, the dormant problem of my Machshav, Chutz L'zman, is now triggered, will now cause that when I do the Zurika, now it will become Pigol. Okay, so let's review that.
So you need the completion.
Right. It's dormant. Right now, I did Shechita and I had Kavon, I'm going to eat it 3 days from now. Okay, everything is in motion. Everything is set to go. But it's not yet called pigul until I get to the Zriga. Then Tosfos says that this would mean, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, that says that when you have a kavana, this is the key point, this is the key point that we need. Even according to Rabbi Yehuda, that says that if you have two problems, problem A, problem one, we don't care about problem two, as long as at the time of problem one, which means the problem, the primary problem, chutz l'zman, it's all alone. That's only if we assume Rabbi Yehuda holds that it becomes pigul instantly. But if Rabbi Yehuda will hold that pigul is not triggered until you do the zrika, then even Rabbi Yehuda will admit that if I have a kavana chutz l'zman first, and then I have a kavana chutz l'mekoymai, and then I do zurika. So the moment when the pigul is triggered, when is the moment the pigul is triggered? Zurika.
Right.
And what is dormant? What is lying there in the blood of the animal? Two problems: the problem of chutz l'zman and the problem of chutz l'mekomo. Even Rabbi Yehuda will agree that there's no din pigul because we have to take into consideration the second problem of chutz l'mekoyma. Rabbi Yehuda taught us a fascinating chiddush. If at the time of, even though the animal has two problems, we don't care about a second problem, provided that the time when you had the primary problem of chutz l'zmano, that was the only problem. Tosfos says that's only true if it becomes pigul instantly. But if it does not become pigul until the time of Zurika, we have to take into consideration all of the problems that have arisen in this from its history. Yeah.
Wait,
where is now the correspondence?
Oh, so this is very difficult. This is what the Rashbam says. Everyone quotes this. I don't fully grasp this, but this is what he basically, this is what the Rashbam says. This is what he says. You have to grasp what he says. He says, look what's happening over here. This whole halacha of Rov, it's hocus pocus. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. You find a piece of meat in the street. Statistics. Take a course in statistics. It's 90% chance that it's kosher. It's 10% chance that it's not kosher. It's all the circumstances, the way you ask the question. If I first discover the question when I find it in the street, it was already parish. As far as I'm concerned, it already separated. Called the parish, meruba parish. But if I was a criminal, I was involved in removing it from its source. Oh, you removed it from the source called kavul. When you took it out of its source, When I went and I took it out of its source called kavua, kimechsal mechsadamia. Okay, fine. But now we're not asking the question about. If I would ask the question right then and there, that's the question. But now I'm asking the question about the pot. I'm asking the question not about the piece of meat. I'm asking the question about the other piece of meat. I'm asking the question, I have a pot. In the pot, there are two pieces. There's the meat that I purchased, that I took out of the store, and it's been mixed with another piece of meat. The other piece of meat happens to be the minority. It's a minority. So its status will depend on the piece of meat that's the minority's status will depend on the piece of meat that's the majority, which came from one of those 10 stores, which I happen to be the culprit who purchased from one of those 10 stores. But I'm not asking about the piece of meat. I'm asking about the pot, which includes the minority. So when I look at the minority, I can say, well, it's been affected by this piece of meat. And this piece of meat, this is what the Rashbam says, you have to. It's separated from one of 10 stores. And when I ask the question also, how did it separate? Well, the way it's, because I'm the one who took it out of one of the 10 stores. But the truth is, there are really two different issues. When I look at the minority of the pot, I'm asking about it absorbed flavor from something that's separated. At the time I asked the question, that's the equivalent of zurika. And the piece of meat in front, the consequence of the zurika is going to be both the chutz l'mikoinoi, which is innocent, and the chutz l'zmano, which is the guilty party. The chutz l'zmano is equivalent of called the parish, called kavua kimechtsal mechsedamia. But being that I'm asking the question not in regard to the piece of meat, but I'm asking the question with regard to the pot, I'm also asking the question from the perspective of chutz l'mekoymoi is here called the parish merubai parish. So the Marsham wants to say a tremendous chiddush that in this case we can be lenient. In this case, we don't focus now that you're not asking, just like we see in the Gemara. When the Gemara talks about the laws of Pigel. And the laws of Pigel has to be exclusive according to Rabbi Yehuda. But if Rabbi Yehuda were to hold that the time of Zurika is what creates, is the clincher, and at that moment in time we're going to take into effect the entire history. So in a similar way, it's not in the perfect match, but in a similar way, even though it's true that if you were to isolate the question, right now you have in front of you a question. If you were to break up the question to multiple parts, then you would have problems, there would be a different result. But being that the question is being asked now, at this moment in time, which is the equivalent of Zurika, and this point now involves two separate issues, I'm not asking a question about me, I'm asking a question about this, the minority pot. And the minority pot has absorbed flavor from meat, which was polished from 10 stores. And I'm not asking the question about the piece of meat itself, because if I would ask the question about the meat itself, then I would have to ask the question well, you took it out of the Sudan, it would be also. But I'm not asking that question. I'm asking a question about the pot. And the pot is a good flavor from meat which came from one of 10 stores. So what do you do here? There are two different aspects of looking at the question. Do we flow focus? Do we look at the question from the perspective of the piece of meat? And if we look at it from the perspective of the piece of meat, it would be also. But if we look at the question from the point of view from the pot is wants to know there is flavor, and the flavor, it's 90% chance that it's kosher, so it's kosher, and that will have a consequence on the meat itself. From which angle do we look at the pot? So he says, just like in Masechta Me'ilah and Avdalad Amar Aleph in Taisis, we learn that we focus on the perspective from the very end, going backwards, and that resulted in a leniency over here. So too, we're going to focus from the perspective of the pot, and that will result in a leniency that the pot and the piece of meat is kosher.
Since Marsham is equating Zerika to the pot, the end of the podcast.
Yes.
He says, go look everything that happened with from the pot backwards. You have two things going on, similar to this.
Exactly. Going on. You
so
look.
It's
an amazing thing is that there are three different ways to ask the question. That's what comes out. If you find a piece of meat in the street, there are two different types of questions. When did you come into contact with this piece of meat? Then, afterwards, it's mutter. If the question is, I entered the store, it would be aser. But if you go and you don't know about the question, you get lucky, and the question doesn't come to you until it's already mixed into the pot, and you're not asking about the meat. I want to know about the pot.
Zrika.
Okay. So then, as far as the pot is not the one, the pot's not the culprit, the pot didn't go into the store and take the meat. The pot has absorbed flavor from a piece of meat that has been purished from 10 stores, and the statistics are 90 to 1, 90 to 10. It's mutter. Everything is mutter. The piece of meat is also mutter.
If the guy's smart, he doesn't go to the rope and ask the Shiloh.
No, you can't be smart, because if you already know that there's a Shiloh, the Shiloh already begins at that moment in time, and it's too late.
But it's not smart, that's called an accident.
The question has to first enter your mind at a later point in time with regard to the pot, not with regard to the piece of meat. So what's so amazing is in the halacha, just because it's not a matter of statistics. It's a matter of the question. The question determines everything. The question, it's not a matter of mitzvahs, it's not a matter of statistics.
Timing is everything.
It's a matter of the circumstances of the question will have an effect on the outcome of the halacha. And that's a very important thing in halacha, because people don't look at halacha like that. There's like in the classic case you have rov. You have three pieces of meat. Three pieces of meat. One is treif as possibly, and one is kosher. They get mixed together. Are you allowed to eat the entire mixture? So according to some Rishonim, yes. How could you possibly eat all three pieces of meat? One is definitely treif. That's halacha. Halacha.
One of the Rishonim
said, if a person doesn't understand this, he doesn't even know the aleph base of halacha. But the mitzvah is do a DNA test. One of the pieces of meat is treif. That's halacha. You have a taruvis, and this halacha example illustrates that concept in another fascinating way. It all depends on how you ask the question, or at what point you ask the question. Yeah.
Now, is there any difference based on the the bottom line of the pot?
Yeah.
If the guy found the meat in the street and the person forgetting where he bought it, will there be any difference?
No. Once we ask the question about the pot, automatically everything follows from there.
It makes no sense. Either way, if you found it in the street or if you forgot where he bought it.
Right. Right. I'm telling you the worst. Even in the worst scenario where he walked into the store and he bought it. I walked into the store. And I bought it in the store. So if you would ask the question when you're in the street, it would be treif. But now that you don't ask the question in that method, you ask the question after the piece of meat already has got mixed into a pot, and you ask it about the pot, then it's mutter. How could that possibly be? That's the chiddush. That's what we learned from Zrika. When you ask the question, the trigger is what's going to affect the outcome.
What corresponds to chutz l'zmano?
Called the walking into the 10 stores. Called the parish, meiruva parish. And chutz l'makoymai is... Chutz l'zmano corresponds to walking to the so-called kavua kenechza al mechzedamia, and chutz l'mekoymoi corresponds to called the parish muba parish. Okay, that's the basic idea.
Go ahead.
Okay, take care.